B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final hour of Felger and Mass. Just to give you my thought on Deshaun Watson, I think it's possible because I think right now with the Patriots, anything's possible. I think these last 48 hours have been so dramatic and such a departure for them that I think everything's now on the table, which is a great, fun place to be. So I can't rule anything out, and I would not rule out Deshaun Watson. You know, based on that sort of just big picture thing, I think they're in a state right now. They're in a mood, and I guess when they get this way, anything is possible. Okay, so that's one. And two, I don't rule Watson out here, Murray, for the reason you do about, you know, the Patriots being the culture that created Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby and all of that. Like I said to you before, I think it's easy for the Patriots to say to Deshaun Watson, we hate those guys too. We fired them.
No, Easterby left on his own. He didn't get fired.
Well, but I'm just telling you what they can say to him. You know, that, I mean,
they forced him out.
I mean, they, you know. Yeah, why do you think he left Deshaun? We were done with him. You know, he left on his own, but we had nothing to do with this
like
guy.
He didn't like our devious ways, and he left and ended up being more devious to you. Hey, come join us. It can't work. I got a counter for all this. I usually don't. You can't beat me in this one. You're not getting him. You're not getting Deshaun Watson.
That may be. I'm just telling you, there's a way to position it as we both hate him. Like, we hate him as much as you do. We're done with the guy, too. He's not here for a reason. He's not here for a reason, Deshaun. And Bill O'Brien's not here for a reason. They weren't long-term guys here. And I'm just saying, like, I don't think that's the impediment. I don't. To me, the impediment is, I don't know how you come up with the best offer. If Houston's really fielding, you know, a blind draw, a blind auction, as Florio and Peter King were saying, then I don't know how you beat Carolina, who's sitting there with the 8th pick, or Denver with the 9th, or San Francisco with the 12th, or the Jets with the 2nd, or the Dolphins with the 3rd, and all 5 of those teams can not only send them better draft picks, but also a young quarterback. And San Francisco with Garoppolo is, you know, a reach, and so is Drew Locke, but it's better than what you got in all those cases. So in all those cases, those teams can match your draft picks and include a quarterback. So it's like, I don't know how you beat that. And as Stu, as he pointed out, though, the way that the path there is that Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause. So even though the Jets beat your offer, Deshaun Watson can say, I'm not going to accept a trade to the Jets. I'm going to shoot it down. I'm only going to accept a trade to the Patriots. And so he can sort of, he can do that. He can do that thing. But to me, still, that's it. Like, I think you can make the money work easily, no problem on the Patriots end. I think that given how aggressive they've been, it wouldn't surprise me if they were willing to give up multiple draft picks now. Like, it previously would have surprised me. Now again, like I said, anything's possible. I think they can get past the Easterby thing. I just don't know how they come up with the best offer.
Well, so this is why I think maybe they're part of an offer. And that, you know, because I think that what you're saying is true of a lot of teams. Like, who can come up with what it's going to take to get Deshaun Watson? Who can come up with that?
The Jets, I mean, they have multiple first-round picks in multiple years and a young quarterback just taken in the top 5 a couple years ago. Like, who can beat that?
Absolutely. Okay, but at the same time, the Jets are a ways off. Like, they're not just a quarterback, right? And they can get they have the number 2 pick. They can get a young quarterback and build the whole thing over time.
They're going to stink for a while.
Yeah, so all I'm saying is I think that's a lot to pay for anybody. Like, because he's 25, and I'm talking Watson now. You're talking about a franchise guy who probably isn't even in his prime yet and is one of the top 5 guys in the league. I don't know. I told you, I like the 3-way scenario, and I'm not being a wise ass for some cheap punchline. I think that you get a couple of teams involved. You get first coming from multiple directions. The Texans end up getting what they want, but it's got to be a team that can send something to the Patriots. And whether it's San Francisco or, you know, and I'm not saying the Jets would do business with the Patriots, but you get the idea. That you get multiple parties involved because a price that high, you got to break it up into pieces or no one's going to pay it.
All right. So, again, there's your Deshaun Watson reset. I think we've covered that pretty thoroughly. How about Christian in New Hampshire? Have you thought about that?
Hey, guys. Yeah, just calling the whole hypocrisy of the, you know, the happy ending that Crafty got a couple years ago. Isn't that the main reason that Easterby left the Patriots? Because of the moral turpitude clause that he escaped from or something?
Well, that's
and
what
wouldn't he be an wouldn't he be a hypocrite to keep Deshaun Watson if he left the Patriots because of that, and now he's going to hold on to a guy that supposedly was just trying to get a happy ending?
Christian, everyone's a hypocrite. So yes, like these guys are all hypocrites. That's not going to prevent any deal or spur any deal or whatever. And
I also don't think it's apples to apples. In one case, you're talking about the behavior of players, and the other, you're talking about the guy you work for. Like, it's different. But anyway.
Yeah, and like Easterby can say that he left here because he didn't like the direction of the team. And like, I mean, look, if someone who is a character coach, this is a tough place to be. You know, the cheating, and like, again, they've been rung up for just about every offense you could possibly imagine. Like, just name it. Like, they've from prostitution to murder to cheat, like, and everywhere in between. Like, if the guy really was a man of principle, I could see why he'd want to leave. I don't think Easterby is. I think he's a fraud. I think he left because he knew there was more career advancement in Houston than here. And he's right. There is more career advancement in Houston than here. So that's why he left. So I just keep it real on all of that. I can see why Deshaun Watson would want to get out of that hellhole. But I can also see the Patriots saying, that's not us. I can also see that.
Why were they hired by you in the first place? Why were they with you for years and given positions of power?
We made a mistake. We had some people who fell under his spell, kind of like your guy, and then we realized, unlike your guy, we realized what a fraud he was, and we pushed him out.
I mean, speaking of frauds, why'd you bring Cam Newton back too, and you give him this money, and it seemed like you were promising him a job? How do I know you're not going to do me dirty eventually when you get sick of me and
never
feel like I'm not the guy?
I mentioned earlier, Murray, see, I think Cam Newton is a selling point for Deshaun Watson, and here's why. Again, I think there's a cultural thing down there too, with McNair being big Trump guys, and his father was sort of a...
Glad you brought that up.
What's with
the letter that you wrote for the ex-president?
Okay. Huh. Now, but not all Trumpers are created equal. Like, the good old Southern boy Trumper is different than the Kraft Trumper. Okay, the Kraft's a Trumper because, let's be honest, I think Kraft just liked partying with Donald and rolling around in Palm Beach and on the planes and all of that, okay? I don't think Robert Kraft agrees with much of Trump's stuff. Some of it, probably, but certainly not all of it. And it's really, Robert is a star bleeper and likes to have important friends, and it's hard to get more important than Trump. The McNairs and that whole thing, they truly believe and represent a lot of the things that I think Deshaun Watson finds abhorrent. That's not Robert Kraft. That's not. And that's a selling point. And if there was a cultural, racial thing down there with Deshaun Watson, which feels like there's a little bit of an undercurrent there as well, well, look, we've just employed Cam Newton, and Cam Newton loves it here. Cam Newton thinks this place is the balls, and he'll tell you that the first time you meet him. And so I think there's, like, I think you can, that's not an impediment to me, Murray. It's just not. I mean, I could be totally wrong. I just think there's a way to position it on the other side.
Yeah, a lot of lying.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, sure. I mean, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. It's the NFL we're talking about, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I was going to say, welcome to the world.
back to your phones right after these words, folks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Quick caveat. I love John McClain, but I struggle to see how we're giving him credit when he said in January that he had a better chance of becoming the Texans head coach than Deshaun getting traded. Some of us back then were saying Deshaun's getting traded. I'm still saying it. He's getting traded. Jeff brought up Miami. Carolina is obviously going to come hard. Keep an eye on Carolina. The Jets, I think, will poke around, but I ultimately believe they'll draft Zach Wilson and trade Sam Darnold. And I wonder about the New England Patriots, because as bad as the relationship between, say, Jack Easterby and the Kraft family is, Nick Caserio and Bill Belichick could probably get on the phone and have some creative conversations. So, yes, he will be traded, just as I've been saying all along, and I will not deviate from that unless and until he is traded.
There's Mike Silver, longtime NFL writer, NFL media, Murray, invoking the name of the New England Patriots and sort of saying that thing about Easterby that I was saying. Enemy of my enemy is my friend. Crafts are enemies with Easterby, just like Deshaun Watson is. We're on the same side, Deshaun. That's how they pitch it. That's how they sell it. I would be stunned if that were an impediment. Back to your phones here on everything. Dan in Chicopee. What do you got for us, Dan? Dan A.
Is my friend.
Yeah, turn down your TV, your radio, your Alexa, whatever you're doing there. Jordan in Brockton. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be quick. So your take on Easterby or McNair possibly being, you know, involved in maybe leaking or even creating the story about Deshaun Watson and possible sexual misconduct or whatever. But I really, there's no way those two are smart enough to concoct something like that. But I know one guy who is, and he does have a slightly unethical reputation, and that guy is Bill Belichick. And what if he was behind this whole mishap, and just to drop or tank Watson's trade value to even, you know, pick him up for peanuts, or maybe like Maz was saying about a little three-way, drop his trade value so that San Francisco maybe bites on him and then maybe wants to get rid of Jimmy G, and we maybe swoop in and take care of that.
So, I mean,
we're going to give him credit for everything now, huh?
The thing is, and again, maybe I'm just super naive, but it's like, Maz, there's a lawsuit attached to this.
Right.
It wasn't just a leak to a newspaper like, hey, what about this? It's like, no. You actually hire the lawyer, draft the documents. You know, it's you've seen these complaints. They're 20, 30 pages that you have to be filed in court. Like there's a whole thing there that's just beyond a little smear campaign. This gal's actually suing them.
Yeah, no. It's I'm not telling you that like, you know, it's all sort of in the air and that there isn't paperwork attached to it. I'm just telling you that we're in the middle of NFL free agency. The draft's coming up in a month. This guy said that he wanted to be traded and wanted out of there months ago. And, you know, how does it come out now? Like, I would like to know, when did it get filed? Did it just literally get filed yesterday? Or that's the only question I'm asking. You might be 100%. It might be 100% legit, and it's not connected to this at all. I don't rule that out either. I just find the timing of it to be kind of peculiar.
Oh yeah,
it's real fishy given the timing of it. It pops up in like an Instagram post late last night.
I mean, Mike, again, this guy is the linchpin to the whole quarterback market in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He's the linchpin. Because Wilson's not going to move. I don't believe Wilson's going to move. I think that there's some sort of game going on there with Wilson and the Seahawks, and it eventually may lead to a deal, but not this offseason. But the Watson thing's holding up everyone. Everyone. Because anybody who wants a quarterback wants him first, depending on what the cost is. And so that comes out today? March 17th, the official start of NFL free agency? It might just be a coincidence. I'm not telling you I know anything. I just, it's odd timing.
Andy, Andy in Providence, what do you got for us, Andy?
Hey, Felger. Hey, Mars. First-time listener, long-time caller. And I think this is our only opportunity to make a move at the quarterback position going forward. I think the Pats are going to trade up to pick 7 with the Lions, go all in for Trey Lance, give up a first, a second, a third, maybe move up to 5 with a first, second, third, and Gilmore with the Bengals. Let me know what you think. Thank you.
Okay, I think you just threw too many draft picks and names at me, and I just seriously hate that kind of call. I can't stand it.
And his name is Maz, not Morris.
Oh, my God. Tommy and Lynn, save us. Tommy, what do you got for us, buddy? Line 1, Jimmy, if you could, I froze up. That call was so bad it froze. Go ahead, Tommy, go.
What's up, boys? How are you?
What's up, Tommy?
Nothing. All right, guys, the quarterback situation. I don't want Cam to be the starter for week one at all. I don't want him to be the starter. I mean, if we could try, let's trade Gilmore and maybe Harry and a couple picks and try to get Watson. I don't know. Or
Tommy, don't fall into that trap, Tommy. We love you too much for you to be one of those guys.
Let's break the bargain and get Jimmy Garoppolo or Gardner Minshew.
Okay, baby. Thanks, Tommy. Jimmy, you can let him go. Tommy, thanks. This don't fall into this trap of, did he say Harry Gilmore and a couple picks?
Yeah.
Sean Watson?
Yeah, fourth and a fifth.
Like, this is why I'm happy to talk about this. It's kind of fun, but the call, like, oh boy, the trade packages get real silly real fast. I just, you know, too many people have been duped into thinking Stephon Gilmore is going to get you something.
The Gilmore thing is a problem because, look, I still think he's a good player. I know he's wrong side of 30 and he had the bad injury. But the problem there is last year of the deal, and any team trading for him is ostensibly going to have to sign him to a long-term deal.
Right.
And so he doesn't have a lot of value because of that. J.C. Jackson now has more value than Stephon Gilmore in terms of a trade.
As a trade chip, I think he's almost valueless. In other words, who's ever trading for him, is all they're doing is trading for an old corner who's going to hold out.
Right.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
Like they have to, if you trade for him, you have to give him big money or else he's not going to report. So all you're doing is trading for someone who's not going to show up. And the whole league knows it. I mean, I honestly think the best play right now is for the Patriots to give him a 1-year raise and bring him back. I mean, you have the money, obviously. You're spending and you're building a really good team. He's got 1 year left. You sort of moved money from this year into last year to satisfy him last year. Well, give him another whatever it takes, $6, $7, $8 million. I don't know what the gap is between his current salary and market, but bring him back up to market for 1 year, promise not to franchise him, and rent him for a year as you've built a pretty good team. To me, that's what I would do with Stephon Gilmore. As a trade partner or a trade chip, I can't imagine he brings you anything.
Oh, especially if they get a quarterback, right? Like, you know, they could, and I mean, separate from Gilmore, if you get a quarterback and you keep Gilmore, Super Bowl is in play. It's in play. Totally.
Pop up Tom and Quincy there, Stu, if you could, on line five for us. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Mike, great point on that Gilmore thing you just said, by the way. Hey, Tony, going back to where you had just said a little while ago about people trading with their boss, that's Heim Bloom just did that. He traded one of the best talents in MLB to Friedman. So it's not out of the realm to get Sean Watson from Cesario to sit, go down and give him a wedgie and tell him that's what you want. But with them restacking the entire team with all these free agents, which is fascinating to me to watch, the only thing they haven't done besides that kid from Miami is defensive line. And now they lost Butler to Miami. In the rumors I've heard, they're going to lose Guy to Miami. And the only two defensive linemen in the top 100 free agents are Guy and Ndamukong Suh. And he hasn't signed back with Tampa yet. Is there a chance in hell that they would ever take a shot at Ndamukong Suh for a year or two?
Sure,
what?
Yeah. Yeah, Tommy, we'll let you go. Thank you for the call. Okay. Yeah, I think everything's on the table.
Yeah, except, you know what? I found an Ndamukong Suh comment like from 5 days ago where he literally said, I don't know what the Patriot way is, and I'm not going there, so don't worry about me.
Really?
something to that effect, because it was, I think he was on with Shannon Sharp, and Shannon Sharp on a podcast asked him about the Patriot way and Tom Brady, and he's like, oh, don't get me going on the Patriot way. You know, I don't care what the Patriot way is. I'm not going to play there.
The only reason
that's why I stopped talking about Ndamukong Suh, I love, by the way.
Yeah, I would think it would be feasible, because it's clear he's just like a one-year, year-to-year mercenary at this point. It feels
so,
like.
So, yeah. I'm curious, but to Guy, like, they've signed two defensive linemen, Tom. They signed the Jets kid whose name I already
Anderson.
Forgot.
Henry Anderson, yeah.
And Gotcha from Miami. I wonder, are those guys here to play next to Guy or to play because they're losing Guy? Like, for example, they just brought Ted Karras back. Is Ted Karras back because Andrews is gone? Or is he here to play beside Dave Andrews? You know, it's usually brought in to replace the guy, which would be too bad because I don't think you can upgrade on Lawrence Guy. As just a, you know, rank and file run stuffer, like just do all the little things right up there. Like he was as good as it gets there.
Bedard's going to be devastated.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, we're going to bring in Bedard tomorrow. We're going to have a special emergency edition of Big Boy Tuesday. It'll be on a Thursday. Greg Bedard tomorrow from 2 to 4 here on Felger and Mass.
So love it.
Tomorrow coming up next is the very latest here in NFL free agency. Some Patriots moves today, which we've alluded to. Murray gets you updated, and then we're back with the final segment of your wonderful phone calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And I think what you're looking at now with New England is great coach, great O-line, great defense, now great tight ends, and they have upgraded their primary weakness, skill people, by acknowledging we're not great at it. That's New England. They've never thought they had all the answers. They can be arrogant and smug, but they're constantly moving off things. And what they're basically doing is they built a team in the last 24 hours to fit Cam. When Cam had the 15-1 season, do you remember his leading receiver? It was Greg Olsen, the tight end. So what did Belichick do? He went and got Cam Newton, two great tight ends. And what else did that Carolina team do well? They ran the football. What's New England? Damian Harris, Sony Michel, good offensive line. Probably bring back Burkhead. They'll run the ball. So Belichick is putting his arms around Cam and saying, year two, special teams defense, me, that's all good. Let's build a team around Cam. He's saying the market didn't offer us anything they liked. Garoppolo can't stay healthy. Mariota's probably too expensive. Jets won't give us Darnold. We'd like to do a deal for Deshaun Watson, but what do we got to give? So I'll go back to it. I was a proponent of signing Cam, and I look at this morning and I think I'd be surprised if they didn't make the playoffs.
Says they built a team around Cam and expects him to be a playoff team. So that's two different things. And we have almost spent almost no time again on, after all these moves here, these last 2 days, how good are they? We haven't really talked about that.
I know.
How good are they?
Well, I know that schedule day, it's actually coming out late this year. I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's not going to be until like mid-May because yeah. They still got to figure out what they're going to do with that extra game and whatnot. But I'll tell you, just looking at it as of right now, they have some real lambs on their schedule. I mean, they have the NFC South, so who's the only really good team in that division now?
Tampa.
It's Tampa. All those other teams, even New Orleans, are going to take a step back. They have Houston. They stink. The Colts on the road. That could be tough. Cleveland's better than you, but you have them here. And Buffalo's better than you, but you probably split with them. Like, yeah, it shouldn't be they could make the playoffs. They should make the playoffs. They should be like
11-6.
Yeah, 11-6.
Yeah, something. I was going to say 11-5. I forgot about the extra game. So yeah, something like that. Yeah, 10-7 doesn't feel good enough. So 11-6 is probably about right. I mean, I would expect with the changes they've made, the coach they have, that's fair.
To me, they should contend. They should contend
with Cam Newton at quarterback.
Yes, with Cam Newton at quarterback.
Contend yep. For what?
What's contend?
The Super Bowl.
Contend? Are we getting into an argument of what contending means?
Maybe.
Yes. Yeah. Why not?
So I'm not telling you they're a Super Bowl favorite, but they should contend for it. They should contend for it.
So that's AFC Championship game?
Yeah. No, divisional weekend is what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. All right.
They should be a divisional round team. My expectation is at least 11 wins, but that really doesn't matter to me. You know, like I can't even tell you what was Tampa Bay's record. I can't remember.
11-5.
11-5. Yeah.
Okay. It's like I don't care. You know. Get into the playoffs, and then let me see that Belichick magic. Because that's what happened to Tampa, frankly. They weren't a great regular season team. There were long portions of last regular season where you looked at Tampa and said, no way. That's not good enough. They're not going to do anything. And then they got into the postseason, and I saw that Brady magic, and the next thing you know, there you go. And so I fully expect you don't spend this kind of money and bring on this many players to be a middle or a fringe team. Here's my expectation. You challenge Buffalo for the division, if not win it, okay? You at least split with Buffalo head-to-head, and you push Buffalo for the division till the last week of the year, or last couple weeks of the year anyway. But if you're not the division winner, you're a solid playoff team, you're winning a playoff game at least, and you're getting me to that divisional round, and then we're seeing where we're at. And then, who knows? You get into a close game against a team that's better than you and some other coach craps on himself and you win because of Belichick. And that's what I'm expecting. And that's my anything less than that is a fail. I am sorry.
Well, so look, I don't believe in the quarterback. That's the problem for me. But if you tell me that all these changes elevate Newton to the average level, can you know, call him top half, 15th, 16th in the league. He goes up to there from 28th and that they were right about the weapons, that Newton's better than we thought. And they elevate Newton to that level, I'm with you.
Yeah,
I just don't believe that Newton can get to that level.
No, me either.
I mean, I think you can get to a certain level with a bad quarterback. And that level is a run. You know, you win some playoff games. I mean, it's increasingly difficult to win it all like that. But I think you can do something. You can get to a certain point. I expected them to get to that certain point. And I still hope and expect they upgrade the quarterback position, and now we're talking about something different. So when Colin said they're building it around Cam Newton, do you agree with that?
I think the offense might be more tailored to Cam Newton, yes. Yes, I do. When I say tailored to him, I told you, it feels to me like their backup plan, their fallback plan, is to be an offense a little more like the Ravens. I mean, Mike, when they first talk about bringing Newton in here, didn't we say you got to change the offense?
Yeah.
And they really didn't. I mean, they did a little, but they kind of straddled it. Like, you know, it felt to me like they were as much focused on getting Newton into their offense as they were getting their offense around Newton. And maybe some of that was related to the shortage of time or whatever. Fine. But this feels to me like a little more of a concerted effort to make it Newton friendly. Tight ends, you know, maybe run the ball. And again, I include Trent Brown as a massive run blocker, like all of that. And so, yeah, I think they're tailoring it more for Newton on offense than they did a year ago. I would say yes to that right now.
Okay, let's zip through these calls to finish out the day, shall we? So please be ready to go and be brief. Shree and Melrose. Go ahead, Shree.
Hey, guys. I don't think a lot of people are talking about the relationship between Cam Newton and Deshaun Watson. I think that could lead to Deshaun Watson coming here, or also lead to him not coming here, because why would he want to take his boys, which he calls his big brother in some articles, his place? Or do you think Cam Newton is recruiting Deshaun Watson to come here? I don't know. It could be a possibility, but very unlikely. I want Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, sure.
Please, young stud, come take my job while I'm hanging on in the league by a thread. Please, get out of here.
So
thanks for the call, though.
What if Cam Newton goes the other way? You know, what if that's that the Houston Texans don't like Sam Darnold, or they don't like Tua, and they don't know who they like, they don't know who they want, but Cam Newton for 1 year at $3 million, they can still sell that down there, and that's, you know, what if Cam Newton goes the other way?
They just signed Tyrod Taylor, so they have a guy who's better than Cam
Newton.
Shoot,
that blows that out. It's true. They have their guy, right? That's right. They have Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, but why not bring in a second sucky quarterback?
Why stop with one? Mark and Easton. Go ahead, Mark. You're up next with Felger, Maz, and Murray. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Felger, before I get to my main point, can we pump the brakes on N'Keal Harry to sweeten the pot? If I'm any other GM, I'm not trading an empty Pepsi bottle for N'Keal Harry. I'm really not. But my main point for Cam Newton, I find it hard to believe Bill Belichick goes out here, spends $240 million, and says, yeah, here's Cam Newton. He takes the keys on the center. I just find it hard to believe. I think something's coming, something big for quarterback.
Okay, Mark, thanks.
Is he new? I mean, I like him.
Yeah, no, me too. He actually gave the yeah.
Yeah. Except he did it as Belichick. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not doing this to turn over the offense to Newton.
An actual authentic yeah.
Yeah.
But the whole thing does. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you go.
I was going to say, it does feel counterproductive for all these moves that they just made, that it's just for Cam Newton, who I still don't think can throw, and will throw it at the feet of these tight ends, these stud tight ends that you just got in Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. So I'd like to think that, yes, maybe you're greasing the skids for Garoppolo if he gets free of San Francisco. Or you're going to trade up and you really believe in one of these young quarterbacks that can maybe start in the middle of the season.
I'll tell you, I went so far last night as to start looking up Newton's, you know, call it his spray chart, on like where he's most effective throwing the ball, and it's over the middle. He's most consistent over the middle. Anything outside, and actually, believe it or not, he was better to the right than the left, based on this chart I saw.
But well, most guys throw to their strong side.
I know, but I think earlier in the offseason we talked about how he was brutal on throws to his right because he couldn't, because he was too bulked up, or at least that's what I had heard, which tells you how valuable that information is. But that aside, his most consistent performance was in the middle of the field. And so, I don't know, you're going to throw to tight ends in the middle of the field, aren't you? I think that's the whole idea.
Mike in North Attleboro, go.
Hey, guys. I don't think that Deshaun's going to get traded because it would be unproductive for any of the owners. I think there's got to be some collusion behind the scenes because, I mean, effectively, you're letting the players run the league at that point instead of giving the owners control.
Yeah, I've heard this too, that the league is invested. Thanks, Mike. The league is invested in making sure that the Texans don't give in to Deshaun Watson, because then you have, as one owner, maybe that owner, was it Cal's father or was it the guy in Tennessee? Whatever. You can't have the inmates running the asylum.
No, yeah, that was the dad. It was Bob McNair.
Was that Bob McNair who said that?
Yeah, yeah.
So, again, there's a cultural thing down there with, like, I feel for Deshaun Watson down there. But that's how these owners look at it, right? And so I think there is – the league is behind Houston to hold, you know, stick to their guns. I would say, though, that horse has kind of left the barn because Detroit allowed Matthew Stafford to leave and found him a good landing spot. And Philly gave in to Carson Wentz and gave him a good landing spot. So, like, you're a little too late if that thing – you want them to hold the line.
This thing, though, if it were to ever happen, how many owners' heads would explode? They'd be calling Goodell, get in there and have an investigation. How did this happen? This is collusion. Everyone's heads would explode.
Speaking of exploding heads, Guy in Boston. Hi, Guy.
Let me tell you, it's St. Patrick's Day, and you guys are still buying Bill's Blondie. Let me tell you, he spent a ton of money on third and fourth tier crap. And, Mike, your path is going to suck even more than the first time. Goodbye. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Guy. Thank you. Third and fourth tier crap. Not all of it. Not all of it. There were a couple premium guys in there. I'm not going to complain, Guy, about them being aggressive and trying to improve their team and doing what they should have done a lot of these other years.
The tight ends are studs.
Yeah, they're good players. I don't know. I don't know if they're both studs. They're good players, though.
King in Boston. Hi, King.
Yeah, hi. Felger, you were talking about yesterday teams having the most cap space. You missed one. The Colts have like $71 million. But two quick points. Do you think that instead of signing Matthew Judon, they should have gone with Bud Dupree, who signs $2.5 million per year? And what do you guys think about having the Patriots going after Jadeveon Clowney for like a year or two?
Okay, Clowney might make sense for them now. He might. That might – is he out there?
Yeah, he's still out there.
Murray, you hate him, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's been a bum the last two spots in Seattle and last year in Tennessee. Again, zero sacks last year. That's his one job. He didn't have one. Zero. That's all he had. He stinks. But if you could get him on short money, who knows, because Bill's the best and gets the most out of everybody. Maybe he'll turn him around and he'll turn him into a stud again like he was in Houston. Bill is a magic man, blah, blah, blah. You get him on short money? Sure, fine. Bud Dupree, I don't miss that one. He tore his ACL last year, and he's like 33, I think.
I'd rather have Judon.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah, I'd rather have Judon. Dupree feels to me like a little bit of that Pittsburgh hype machine.
Yes, totally. Totally. All right, on that note, we will call it a day, but not quite, because the final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair
Nobody,
Tire.
Jeff.
Nobody.
Nope.
All right. Well, so for those that missed my reality-based open to today's show, let's relive it in all its wet blanket glory, huh?
It's outstanding. And there's a lot of people around here anyway who think the Patriots have a legit shot at this, who are actually in on this. Does anyone in this room believe that? Does anyone in this virtual room believe this?
I want to.
No, not for a second.
I want to. Go ahead, Murray. You go first.
Yeah, whatever Watson to Patriots take or thought you have, and I'll play along for the segment, but whatever you have, I'm ignoring. Because that's not true. I'm not just ignoring it. I'm swatting it away like Mutombo. From clickbait articles to thirsty attention trolls on Twitter. I live in the real world right here.
I know that financially it can happen. I've seen the article.
It ain't happening. He ain't coming here. Get it out of your heads. Well, there's hope, Murray. I spit in your hope. Never gonna get him. 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 Never get him. Ugh. You ain't getting him. You might get Garoppolo. You ain't getting Watson.
Oh, it's so good.
I want to believe it. And so I would like to think that Boston's always involved in these sorts of things. It doesn't mean you're going to get them, Murray. but I'd like to think I get the song in my head now.
Yeah, I was going to say, Murray, how would you
going to get him?
How would you answer to someone who said they could get him?
Never gonna get him. 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 Never get him. You bet. No shot.
So let's play with this. Let's play with the package a little bit.
Never gonna get him. Never gonna get him.
Right after these words. I feel production coming on.
Totally. I think so wedged in my head right now.
Like a very catchy song from En Vogue back in the day.
I do. I have like a whole Murray's greatest hits in my head. You know, the Jets have signed Revis.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.